You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another Locked On Grizzlies preview episode. Today on the show, former host of this show, Peter Edmondson, now with The Athletic. What's going on, man?
Woo! What's up, Mark? How are you,
back, baby?
Man, it is time. We are just days away from media day and from like actual game, well, kind of actual games, I mean, exhibition games, but games nonetheless, actual on-court stuff to talk about. It's been a very eventful and long off season. It always feels, I don't know about you, but it always feels like the time between, like, I don't know, probably mid-August to about this time is just takes forever.
Yes.
Because there's so much stuff that happens, like, between the draft and free agency and all that stuff is like this whirlwind for about a month or so. And then it gets so quiet. And it feels like forever, even though the season is really, really long. I'm ready to get back into it.
Yes, it does. It is this, like you mentioned, the August, that time period, especially as you know, because you do a radio show every single day on Sports 56, doing a show about it every single day is, it's tough sometimes. It's, we got in the weeds for a little bit on the show, but we are back. Like you said, just nuts. We're so close to just basketball. Any form of basketball, I'm really okay with at this point. So,
yeah,
as I'm sure you are as well. It doesn't matter. Just any form of basketball.
We had the World Cup. I mean, we had some interesting, you know, stuff coming out of that. That was nice to watch. But, yeah, I mean, I'm ready. And it feels, you know, this week, because of all the stuff that's happened, it actually feels like, you know, the season is almost. Like I really started to kind of get that itch now. So we're ready for it.
Yeah, me too. I know that media day is just around the corner on the 30th of the month. I want to get into the show with you. Obviously, we've been doing this preview show with a bunch of different people around the city that cover the Grizzlies. We start on the show, on these episodes, we've been starting talking about the offseason. And I don't want to dwell on it too much, but I do want to get into the Andre Iguodala situation with you since we just had, as we record this show on Tuesday, we just had some news break, getting a little bit more clarity on the situation. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But the offseason, is there anything that stood out to you that this new front office group did that any, and to me, it's little things for me that were, you know, protections on picks, just things that were never really seemed like they were done before. They're more proactive, but is there anything to you that really stood out that you just kind of left you like, huh, this is definitely a different front office.
Well, I think it was, you know, a combination of good planning and good fortune,
right.
You know, getting the number two overall pick, and getting Ja Morant in a draft where, you know, you have Zion as the undisputed one and Ja as the undisputed two, and then a whole lot of question marks after that, was really an unusually good bit of fortune for a team that hasn't had a whole lot of it in the draft. But that, to me, kind of set the tone for just, you know, whether it was good luck or whether it was good planning, a lot of good fortune and a lot of good moves and a lot of things that really worked in the favor of the Grizzlies. You know, and to me, Mark, the biggest thing is the fact there was a plan. You know, there was a plan in place. It wasn't this idea of being stuck trying to squeeze every little possible drop out of the core four and every little and trying to squeeze another playoff appearance out and squeeze a 40-win season when you're really rowing against the tide and you're really fighting a lot of tough teams that are getting better and better and you're just delaying and delaying the inevitable. You know, this group, you know, for whatever reason, once Robert Pera elected to completely turn the page, get rid of J.B. Bickerstaff, you know, get rid of Chris Wallace, reshuffle everything, and put Zach Kleiman in power along with a revamped and upgraded front office with more people, you know, more structure, more of a focus on the analytics side. From that point on, there's been a plan, you know, and I don't think we can say that over the last few years. The plan has sort of been, hey, do the best you can and try to squeeze something out and then we'll see what happens. And no, just more activity, all pushing in one consistent direction, which is rebuild around Jaren Jackson and Ja Morant. And it's been refreshing to see no BS, no doubt about what they're doing. And all those little moves that you talked about, the little details, all of it has been service of that one thing. That to me is the overriding story, is that there's actually a plan. And so far it's working pretty well.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite press conferences, when we had Chris Waltz up there, and I think you asked him about a plan, about a direction. Mm-hmm. And I think he responded to us that we didn't have to have one, which I thought was just, you and I both talked about afterwards. It was just the wildest thing, that it was just didn't matter.
It just drives me crazy. Like, it's not, to try to win is not a plan. You know, that's not that everyone's trying to win eventually.
Right.
You know, everyone's trying to win, but there is a plan in how you go about doing it. I mean, if you're trying to drive from Memphis to New Orleans, you don't just get in the car and start randomly driving. I mean, I guess eventually you'd get to New Orleans, but you know, if you're driving north,
right,
you're going to go a long way and then you're going to realize, well, you go back. No, you plan out your trip before you leave, and it's going to save you a lot of trouble. It finally seems like you've got some adults in the room who are planning out the trip, mapping it out before you get in the car.
Yeah, it's very refreshing perspective. And I have said on the show for a few weeks now, or maybe no longer than that, now that it's been a while since this front office has been in charge, and it is just a more proactive approach than a reactive approach of like, oh crap, now we have to go out and get Justin Holliday and send out a bunch of picks because we don't know what we're doing. So like, it is a very proactive approach.
Yeah. Well, and that was the thing, Mark, is I had a chance to chat with Jason Wexler and Zach Kleiman not long, I think the day after the announcement was made, that they were being, elevated to the positions that they came in. And, they didn't, as has been pretty much their case for the whole time, pretty close to the vest, not a lot of information, concrete information. But one of the things that they did say both, and they've been true with thus far, is, we're going to be much more proactive rather than reactive. We feel like we've been very reactive over the last few years, and it's up to us to change that and be more proactive. And I think it was Jason Wexler who said, you're going to see, we'd rather not discuss or tell you what we're going to do. We'd rather you figure it out based on what you see us do.
Right.
And, I at the time, I'm like, I could, really use a quote, Jason, so that's all well and good, but why don't you give me a little something? But I get it. And thus far, I mean, you've seen it. It's very evident based on the moves they've made exactly what they're trying to do.
Yeah, it is a very different approach. Let's talk a little bit about Andre Iguodala. Obviously, we're recording this show on Tuesday of the week. News came out, I believe, yesterday, if I'm getting my days right, that he will not be at camp. That both him and the Grizzlies are basically mutually agreeing to stay where they're at. He's going to probably stay in LA and work out, and they're going to try to find a deal for him. Obviously, this comes at a cost. They do have to cut someone off a roster spot that they maybe were not going to cut or whatever. Obviously, there are some guys at the back end of the roster that may not matter anyway, but it is still a real thing. It is still something you have to talk about. So, is this? I don't think it surprises to anyone that this was going to happen, that he's going to just stay away and not show up media days. Were you surprised in any way by the fact that he will just be where he's at?
No, I mean, I think this was always the logical choice.
Right.
And, I tip my cap to Chris Harrington over at the Daily Memphian for breaking that thing, because it was something I think that was going to – it was inevitable. If they were going to keep him on the roster, if they were going to attempt to formulate some kind of a trade, this was, to me, inevitable. I'm glad that it was inevitable. The only question was, how messy was it going to be? Were they going to be extremely stubborn and require him to report and show up and, be on at least present in Memphis and sort of go through the charade of doing media day stuff and taking photos and all that? Or were they going to, be logical and say, you're on our roster, but you're not really part of our team and you're not really part of our future. So just do your thing. And that to me always made more sense. Yeah. He's going to take that roster spot up, and, I think there's a good debate, and we talked about it last time I was on Locked On with you about, what's the value of that spot and what should you do with it and all that. There's a debate, and I think you can make sense both sides of that thing. Yeah, is the spot better used for a young player? Perhaps. Would it make more sense to buy him out because of that? I mean, maybe so. But they've chosen a different direction. And as long as you can get a trade that makes sense and something that's got some reasonable value, then sure, hold that roster spot up and keep him around until you can find value. The trick on that, of course, is what do you do in the meantime? And this makes a lot of sense to say, look, go do your thing, stay in shape. You know, we could trade you at any point in time, but we think it's probably going to be a little while. It's probably, we're going to have to wait till maybe after December 15th when the free agents who signed during the summer can be then traded. We may have to wait till, closer to the February 6th trade deadline. Either way, we're going to try to do something. So you just do your thing. That way, Taylor Jenkins does not have to answer questions coming up this Monday at Media Day about, what are you going to do with Andre Iguodala? Is he going to start? Is he going to play? Is he going to be here? What does that mean? All the other players, blah, blah, blah. What about Andre and all this? I mean, there'll be a few questions, I'm sure, but nothing. But now the outcome is pretty well established. Here's what's going to happen. And so, everyone's kind of on the same page well before the season starts. And again, another example to me of being proactive in what could have been an awkward situation, and maybe the previous regime would have just kind of let the chips fall wherever. These guys, I think, have a better approach.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a gamble. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it whether you want to talk about it or not. Like, it's definitely a gamble whether you want to have Andre Iguodala on your roster until whenever you could trade him again. I mean, hopefully you get something for him, but having to move $17 million in NBA is still a real thing. It's still hard to do. It's not easy. It's not like a $3 million contract. So, I mean, it is still a gamble. Whether that's, whether it's a, pretty good gamble or is probably up for debate, but it's still worth mentioning the fact that, you still have to cut somebody, whether that somebody is, Maz Plumlee or Ivan Rabb or whomever that might be. You still have to cut somebody. And so I think it's still a situation where, it's still something I think we should bring up and we talk about, because there's a consequence to keeping him no matter what. Now, whether that's a big or small remains to be seen.
Well, I mean, that is true. And that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, you have to make a choice. And both, to me, both choices are justifiable.
Right.
They're not going to cut him outright. So you can forget about that. So the choice would be if he's agreeable to working out a buyout, to work out some kind of a buyout situation. And I think it's, based on his comments yesterday, Monday, from the NBC Sports Bay Area piece by Monty Poole, I think it's debatable as to whether he was all that fired up about giving up money at this point in his life. He said, he's not so sure about that. So if he's not going to work out a buyout, then there is no other choice but to go this option. Maybe that was the situation. But assuming that there was at least some possibility of a buyout, then you had to make the choice of, do you go through for the buyout or do you go for the trade? And know that if you go for the trade, it's going to cost you the opportunity cost of a roster spot that is served perhaps for, and that roster spot can go a couple different ways. I mean, Mark, you could theoretically, I mean, you could cut, Miles Plumlee, for example,
right,
and you'd eat a bunch of money, but you would keep that spot open for that young player and have Iguodala still there to be traded. I think the ideal situation for the Grizzlies is to work out a trade between now and about 3 weeks or 3.5 weeks or so, right on the eve of the deadline. 24 hours before the regular season starts is when you have to cut that roster down to the 15-man limit. Ideally, you try to work out like a 2-for-1 trade of some sort, maybe involving Plumlee or something like that, where
right,
you can make that – open up that spot and kind of have your cake and eat it too.
Yep.
That's not always easy to do, but maybe you can try to have something in the meantime. But if it comes down to it, I mean, I'll just be honest. Like, I'd cut Ivan Rabb and be done with it. Like, I mean, there's no, you cut Rabb. If you have to cut somebody else, then you could cut a Plumlee or something like that, and be okay with it. I think you probably would prefer to keep, Solomon Hill. I think you probably prefer to keep Jay Crowder. So it's kind of that. That's the choice to me. And I mean, I get it. It is a bit of a risk, but to me, it's defensible as long as there is a follow through and some kind of a trade or something happens as a result of it.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And it's, you know, both are good ways to go about it. It's just, you know, how you determine which way you go about it. And at the end, is the result, you know, good enough to justify the cost? And so I think that's, you know, there's a debate for both sides, and I see both sides of it as well. That's a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll talk more on the other side with Peter about some younger guys and what we can expect throughout the season. Welcome back to the show. Talking with Peter Edsman of Sports 56 and The Athletic Memphis. A bunch of good stuff over there by him and Amari over at The Athletic. They did a great job of covering over there. Go and subscribe. I think it's like, I don't know, it's not enough money for me to notice it coming out of my bank account. So go subscribe and you'll you will appreciate it. Trust me.
I'm glad that you said that. I appreciate that. And I'm the same way. I subscribe as well. So I subscribe to my publication. So I guess that's taking money out of one pocket and putting it back in the other. But I'll happily do it, and not for me. I mean, for all the content that we got, it's outrageous how much is out there. And we very frequently have, and I would guess, I don't know this for a fact, but I would guess as the season begins, there's typically a, you know, somewhere between a 30% to 50% discount coming up. So if you haven't subscribed, hold tight, and I bet you'll be able to save some serious money.
Absolutely, and it's all kinds of great content over there for sure. I want to talk to you a little bit about the young guys. You're a Brandon Clark guy. What should we expect from Brandon Clark this year? I don't want to put too much on him, but I think it's deserving that he should have a role in this offense and on this team right away.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, it's going to depend on you know, exactly how the front office sees him and what they want him to do. But, you know, I can absolutely see him as a bench four right out of the gate, playing alongside, you know, like a Tyus Jones and some of those lineups, you know, that would be out there. And, of course, Ja, I'm sure we'll get plenty of minutes with Brandon Clark as well. I love seeing, you know, Brandon next to Jaren Jackson to see what that just the athleticism and defensive possibilities of that lineup are really tantalizing once those guys get going together. I think you'll see him in a lot of different ways. And you know, we've discussed this before, but one of the beautiful things about this season is that, you know, you're not making the playoffs. You know, it's a season of growth and worrying about the young players. And so as a result, you really have a lot of license, if you're Taylor Jenkins, to experiment and to try some different stuff, and to try some different lineup combinations, and to see what happens when Clark plays alongside Jonas, Clark playing alongside Jaren. Maybe try Clark as a five, you know, in a particularly small and athletic lineup. Maybe try him to defend some threes, see what happens out there. I don't know, just different stuff. You have the license to do that. I just think that with his IQ and the way he picks stuff up and the way he's grown, if you see the development of his jump shot over the course of his college career, how much improvement he's made there. He's a worker. He's a smart, smart player. So I think you expect to see him a lot, because I think the coaches are really going to enjoy working with him.
Yeah, he's definitely somebody that could be really potentially a really exciting player. I think he obviously could be the future with Jaren Jackson Jr. But do you think Jaren is a five, like long-term, not even this year, but long-term? I think I've seen some people go back and forth on this. I don't really know where I'm at yet. I think right now, so I think he's obviously still a four right now, but long-term, do you think he could play center in the NBA?
Well, I think it's up to him. You know, that's the thing. I think he can, absolutely. But it's just a matter of if you're going to go in that direction – he's going to have to buy it. And I'm not saying he's not, but I mean, buy in terms of you're going to sacrifice probably a little bit of his speed, because he is going to have to bulk up. We're seeing kind of I'm not going to say a return to the big man in the NBA, but size is definitely a little bit more of a factor than it was 4 or 5 years ago. I think everyone's kind of seeing that Warriors approach with Draymond at the center. There's not a lot of Draymonds out there. And even Draymond now is not maybe what he was, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. So, you know, you're seeing more bigs kind of back at that five spot. So he's going to have to have a little more strength. He got pushed around a little bit last year. Not surprising, you know, considering rookie status and everything. Was not dedicated to rebounding. You can't have a five out there that is going to be out-rebounded so spectacularly unless it's like a Brook Lopez-type situation. And I don't think the team is structured for him to play, you know, that sort of a role. So it's up to him. I think I know generally the thought was at the time he was picked that, you know, he was going to be a four and let's just see what happens from there once his body fills out. He's definitely filled out, and there's some talk that he's gained an inch or two of height. You know, we'll find out next week, but if that's the case, cool. I still think you're probably going to see more four, but this year is a great time to experiment and to see what those lineups look like. And there's plenty of minutes out there, Mark, for him to kind of freelance and to do some stuff at the five. It's just that I think we've seen more and more in the NBA that the guy who starts as a four and backs up as a five, that just doesn't work. It doesn't right. work all that well. You kind of have to work a little more on one than the other. And you're seeing like Anthony Davis. See, right. He's bigger, longer, and he says, I don't want to be a five. Like, he's just kind of put his foot down. You know, I don't think Jaren's done that yet, but, you know, they're similar in terms of their build. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting conversation. And Jaren, obviously, Anthony Davis is a guy that I think I compared Jaren a lot to. I think most people do. And it's definitely interesting to see for sure. Another couple guys on the roster I think are important to this team, Dylan Brooks and Kyle Anderson, going forward. Dylan Brooks obviously had some issues with health last year. Obviously, he has to stay healthy to be effective. But what else do we need to see from Dylan Brooks to help this team out long term? What do you think Dylan Brooks is long term? Is he a starter? Is he a role player? What is he on a playoff team?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. That's an interesting question because, you know, he was out for so long, you kind of forgot a little bit about what he was all about. He's another, you know, smart player. I think, you know, size-wise, he's probably, you know, a little more size to be a two, but maybe athletically a little more three-ish. Depends on how you want to play him. I want to see a little more consistency in the jump shot because I think he has that possibility, but I don't know that we ever saw it on a real consistent 5-10 game stretch. You certainly saw moments.
Right.
You know, same thing defensively. He would kind of go in and out. And I think the long-term thing with Dylan, you know, I don't know. I think he's a seventh or eighth man on a pretty good team. I think he's a guy that definitely comes in and plays some interesting key minutes. But if he's starting for you, I think it's probably indicative that you're not a particularly great team. Got a little, you know, Courtney Lee kind of thing. Where
right.
it's, you know, he's a good, very good, very solid player, capable of doing a lot of stuff, not going to take anything off the table. But if he's running in and starting for you, I don't know that you're going to be that great.
Yeah, I think I probably tend to agree with you. I think Dylan's role is best served as a concept player that can, you know, get you what you need to get off the bench as a good team. And so I think you put it pretty good. If he's starting for you, you maybe have things to worry about. Kyle Anderson, another guy that is obviously coming off shoulder surgery this past year, kind of a weird surgery. What about him? He's obviously looks like he's ready to go. But what about Kyle Anderson? Will we see more point forward Kyle Anderson this year? What should we expect from Kyle Anderson?
Well, again, I want to see him first of all because right. you know, the shoulder things have been weird, and I don't know. I hope he's ready. You know, we just don't know for sure. And so seeing him out there, number one, is going to be the key thing. And number two, I've always kind of said that to me, man, unless the ball is in his hands a lot, I don't think he's got all that much to offer you on the offensive end. I think he's a very good
right.
defensive player, you know, very long, very smart. gets into spaces, gets into lanes, is able to, you know, use his length really well. And he's got a, you know, a little bit like, you know, Brandon Clark and some of these guys, Jaren. He's a super high IQ defensive player, so it kind of mitigates some of his lack of foot speed. And there was plenty of lack of foot speed to go around with Kyle. But it mitigates that a little bit. So defensively, he's fine. But on the offensive end, you know, he's not a spot-up shooter. You know, so he's not – if you play him as a four, you know, that stretch four kind of position where you pick and pop or you spot up to space the floor, he's not giving you much value there. You know, he to me, he needs to be a primary or secondary ball handler, but the plays – that you run with him out there, he's got to touch the ball and move it. He's got to be part of it. He has great vision. His height really helps him to see those windows. He can get the ball into really tight spaces. But, you know, there were so many plays last year where, you know, the Grizzlies would run whatever and it would end up to, you know, an open corner three for Kyle Anderson. Well, that's not great. Right. That's a bad possession. Even if it's theoretically what you want, the personnel doesn't match it. So I want to see, and I think Taylor Jenkins has got the ability, and it seems to be, and in my conversations with him, you know, there's a lot of creativity within the coaching staff thus far. So I think you'll see more of that. I think they want that ball to move. And if you've seen, you know, kind of what Budenholzer's done in his offenses and even in the Spurs system, yeah, there's certainly a lot of that. So I think there'll be a lot of movement, a lot of passing, a lot of that type of situation with Kyle Anderson. So I think he's going to get a good shot at it. I just hope it's more handling than anything else.
Yeah, maybe that shoulder surgery fixed his shot, and now he's going to be an excellent three-point shooter. That's what we can all hope for.
Yeah, I mean, that's maybe so, Mark. There's a lot of other guys in the league that would love to go see that doctor.
Miracles do work. Let's do this. Let's take another break. We'll come back. We will get the starting lineup from Peter, as well as possibly a win total from him as well. But remember, if you have a long day at work and you're still stuck at the office, treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKED. That's LOCKEDON. Just enter the promo code on the DoorDash app and get $5 off your first order of $15 or more. Welcome back to the show. Talk with Peter Edmondson of The Athletic, Sports 56 as well. You can catch him over there every single day, every single morning. Make sure you do that. Peter, let's wrap up and let's talk about our starting lineup, your potential starting lineup, maybe first few guys off the bench that we'll see on opening night.
Yeah. So to me, I mean, you have the basics for this group are going to be Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, and Jonas Valanciunas, the three J's right there. And then because I mean, at this point, the roster is built with those guys in mind. Those guys are there for the reason. And whatever you do, you know, you're going to need to kind of have that group be the number one thing that you worry about. It's kind of like those guys are the prime movers and everything else has to work around them. And so, you know, in terms of working around them, I think you're probably going to see like Dylan at the two to start. I think just because of experience and, you know, everything else that you want to see. And probably like as long as Jay Crowder is on the roster, it makes the most sense to me for him to be your three. I mean, again, because he's just he kind of moves everything along a little bit,
right?
And so that would mean to start with Kyle Anderson would be coming off the bench in kind of a, I don't know, the jack of all trades kind of role. You know, Tyus Jones obviously is going to come off and be the ball handler. I don't think you're going to see a lot of Ja and Tyus Jones playing together. The real wild card in the whole thing, to me, you know, it could go one way or the other. I have no idea. But, you know, Josh Jackson. So I think De'Anthony Melton's going to get some minutes. I think he'll play, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes maybe depending on matchups and everything else. His defensive prowess is really, really strong. I think as a complimentary player, he will do a lot of the work that needs to be done to keep the Grizzlies kind of competitive. When some of these lineups that they put out there just don't necessarily have as strong of a defensive backbone, I think he can really help with that. But Josh Jackson's the one that's a wild card, man. I don't know. I wrote a piece earlier in the summer about, you know, a different way to look at Josh's stats and his numbers from Phoenix. And if you look at them closely, they're not bad. They're actually not bad at all. Now, if you watch him play, the decisions that went along with those often were bad, often were terrible. But the guy, it wasn't about playing, and he played hard. He obviously made a lot of bad off-court decisions, and that's something that he's got to deal with. But from a talent perspective, man, you know, I think people have kind of, you know, there's been some talk that the Grizzlies would, like, not even have him around. I you know, again, in the absence of knowing anything about him personally, I've never met the guy. You know, I've only spoken to people that have dealt with him and all that. I can't imagine why you wouldn't take a free look at him this year, even if you don't pick up his extension, you know, for next season. I can't imagine why you wouldn't take a free look at this dude who's, you know, 6'8", if he can develop any kind of a better shot. And his shot improved. Still not great, but it did improve. He can do a lot of things that his athleticism pairs really well with a lot of guys, and there's not a wing that the Grizzlies have right now who can do that stuff. So I don't know, man. I feel like people have slept a little bit on the potential that this guy has, and maybe none of it pans out. Maybe he's a malcontent. Maybe he has difficulty adjusting and all this sort of thing. I don't know. But to me, that's a very tantalizing possibility based on what the guy has done and what he potentially could do. It's a swing for the fences, I'll grant you, but I want to see him as part of the rotation if it all works out.
It's interesting that you mentioned Josh Jackson. I think we've had people on this show. He's been a hot topic. He's everywhere from he'll get cut, he'll be one of the roster cuts, to he'll get starters minutes. So it has been a wide range of Josh Jackson. But like you mentioned, he is a guy that has the potential to be anything and everything, nothing.
Yeah, why would he get cut? Like, that's the point. Unless he just comes to Memphis next week and it's just like, you know, F this and bleep and just doesn't care and has a terrible attitude. The dude he's undeniably talented. I don't think people – I get it. I didn't want to watch Phoenix play either, okay? But it's a brutal, brutal team that has had, multiple coaching changes, front office that's in complete disarray, an organization that has basically sucked for a long, long time with one of the worst owners in the NBA, upheaval all over the place. Are you sure it's all Josh Jackson? Or are you sure that maybe the same thing that's plagued a lot of Phoenix rookies hasn't plagued him? And maybe you can get him out before it's too late. And maybe you can find something there. You know, I don't know. I mean, Marquese Chriss got out and it hasn't really worked for Marquese Chriss. You know, I think I'm not sure that Dragon Bender is going to set the world on fire. But hey, you know, I think there's the numbers that Josh Jackson put up, even for a bad team, are good enough where they merit a little more scrutiny. There's not a lot of guys, again, go back and look at the piece I did. There's not a lot of guys who have done what he's done in the first 2 years of their career.
We'll definitely have time to see. That's for sure. This year we'll have plenty of time to get a look and see at all the different players. They have a lot of decisions to make on, like you mentioned, Josh Jackson, Dylan Brooks. Obviously, there's lots of decisions coming up for a lot of the young guys this season. So hopefully, again, they get some – you just put them out there, get some time, and just like you said, get a free look. Just see what you have in all of the guys on your roster. Some may pan out, some may not, and that's what this season should be used for. Peter, I appreciate you coming on. Again, if you're not already subscribed to The Athletic, make sure you go and do so. Look at all of Peter's work. Obviously, you have Maurice and Kovo covering the Grizzlies as well. Both great writers, great friends of the show. I appreciate it, man. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, man. See you soon, bud.
Thanks.